This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, September 8th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. A neonic man returns. CDFA makes progress on VSV outbreak and Farm Bill timing update. Neonic bill turned into a ban. Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Kahan is proposing to ban all non-agriculture uses for the neonicotinoid class of pesticides. She had introduced AB 363 this year to speed up the pace for Department of Pesticide Regulations evaluation of the insecticide in lawns and gardens. With new amendments this week, the bill would now prohibit sale, possession, or use of neonics for any non-agricultural purposes by 2025. It would require DPR to then adopt its own restrictions by July 2029. Farm groups had unsuccessfully pushed Bauer-Kahan to instead amend the bill to allow for the regulatory process to play out first. Remember, Governor Newsom vetoed her ban on backyard neonics last year, saying DPR will begin the evaluation process soon. Keep in mind, Bauer-Kahan's proposed ban on neonic-treated seeds died in committee earlier this session. CDFA starting to get a handle on VSV outbreak. Since May, CDFA has been tackling an outbreak of vascular stomatitis, primarily in horses in Southern California, though a couple of cases have been in cattle and one was confirmed in Fresno County. The viral disease appears similar to foot and mouth. While it is not deadly, it can lead to significant economic losses for livestock producers. Researchers suspect it is transmitted through biting insects and animal-to-animal contact. No vaccine is available, and livestock owners are encouraged to control flies through insecticides and manure management. VSV has affected nearly 200 sites in California, spanning 9 counties with 68 confirmed positive cases. The state has released all but 40 sites from quarantine. It looks like we're starting to get a handle on it, CDFA Secretary Karen Ross told the Food and Ag Board this week. It's taken a lot of time and relies on our labs doing really immediate diagnostics. She lauded CDFA's Animal Health Division for deploying social media and other outreach tools to prevent the spread by educating owners on disinfection and quarantine. Meanwhile, the state is seeing more oriental fruit fly issues this year, and they have now spread to Kern County, which is a scary thought, according to Ross. She said both infestations are indicators of climate change impacts. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West next. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. GOP leader, farm bill still long way off. There are fresh signals that lawmakers remain a long way off from passing a new farm bill. The Senate's number two Republican, Minority Whip John Thune of South Dakota, told reporters yesterday that Senate Agriculture Committee leaders are, quote, behind the pace of where they want to be. I don't think they're anywhere close to moving a bill yet. Finding money for the bill continues to be really hard, Thune said. The senior Republican on the Ag Committee, John Bozeman, told AgriPulse separately that the Commodity Credit Corporation spending that he and Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow have requested for foreign market promotion could serve as a bridge until Congress can pass a farm bill. Funding authority for the Market Access and Foreign Market Development Programs expires September 30. Hopefully, we'll get a farm bill done in the next few months, but it might be well into next year, said Bozeman of Arkansas. Now, take note, the commodity title remains a key sticking point for lawmakers. Bozeman has said he won't vote for a farm bill that doesn't raise reference prices. Senator Tina Smith, speaking on this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers, confirms that the commodity title remains a key challenge. There are some things they are caught up on, particularly on the commodity title, the Minnesota Democrat said. This week's Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. Study: technology needed to cut food systems' greenhouse gases. Dietary changes can help reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but it will take much more than that for the world's food system to achieve net negative emissions. That's the conclusion of a new study that said, quote, the most promising technologies to enter negative emission territory include hydrogen-powered fertilizer production, livestock feeds, organic and inorganic soil amendments, agroforestry, and sustainable seafood harvesting practices. The global food system contributes 21 to 37% of the planet's emissions annually. Adopting flexitarian diets cannot achieve full decarbonization of the food system, but it has the potential to increase the magnitude of net negative emissions when combined with technology scale-up, says the authors of the paper, led by Benjamin Holton, Dean of the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Cornell University, and Maya Almarez, an associate research scholar at Princeton. Report: produce credits preferred over produce boxes. A new report finds that low-income families overwhelmingly prefer getting credits to buy fruits and vegetables rather than receiving the type of produce boxes USDA provided during the pandemic. The Indianapolis Good Food for All program, a partnership between Partnership for Healthier America and Instacart, tested the feasibility of a produce credit model this year in that city. In the first phase, families received prepackaged boxes with approximately 50 servings of fresh fruits and vegetables weekly for 10 weeks. During the second phase, families were given $50 in produce purchasing credits per month. Four out of five of the participants prefer produce credits rather than produce boxes delivered to their doorstep. The same majority say they'll continue buying fruits and vegetables. Instacart and PHA plan to add four additional cities: Denver, Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., and Englewood, New Jersey. USDA to compensate dairy operations for milk lost to disasters and dumping. Dairy producers who had to dump milk or otherwise suffered losses due to disasters in 2020, 21, and 22 could be eligible for compensation from USDA. The deadline to apply is October 16th, that according to a rule to be published next week in the Federal Register. Many producers lost money when a sharp drop in demand at the onset of the COVID pandemic forced them to dump supplies. Changes in U.S. agriculture accelerating faster than anticipated. A new Aimpoint research report, which delves into psychographics, demographics, and behavioral data of U.S. farmers in a post-pandemic but still volatile environment, indicates the pace of change across American agriculture is moving at a faster rate than previously predicted. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. Well, here's today's She Said It. It's pretty exciting stuff when you think about it. That's CDFA Secretary Karen Ross celebrating the wonders of soil biodiversity on California Biodiversity Day. Ross also penned an op-ed of the Sacramento Bee touting a new report on the biodiversity, quote, beneath our feet, saying it will help farmers combat climate change. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, September 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.